1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now concerning, King James here, concerning spiritual gifts. Gifts is italicized. Anybody know what that means? Added by the translator. So it really says, now concerning spiritual brethren. Or the Greek says spirituals, plural. Means things pertaining to the Holy Spirit. If you read the chapter, that's exactly what this chapter is about. Things that pertain to the Holy Spirit. Brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. You know, there's two kinds of ignorance. There's just never have heard or never have learned. And then there's the kind of ignorance that comes by being misinformed.
Yeah.
And that's what the Amplified says. I don't want you to be misinformed. Well, see, we've been misinformed. A lot of us grew up misinformed. We were told all that passed away with the apostles, you know, and so forth and so on. But Jesus didn't say that. The Bible didn't say that. And so now concerning these things that pertain to the Holy Spirit, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want to just look at some things tonight about the things of the Spirit. And you say, well, what does that got to do with me? Well, before you ask, just listen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. We don't want to answer a matter before we hear it, right? Amen. The Bible has a word for that. We wouldn't want to call each other that. So we're not that. Praise the Lord. So 1 Corinthians 12 says here, don't be ignorant about things that pertain to the Holy Spirit. And so I want you to look at Romans. To jump into this, go to Romans chapter number 12. Let's look at some things the Bible says, especially the New Testament, about things that pertain to the Holy Spirit. Would that be all right?
Yes, sir.
1 Corinthians 12, and then look with me at verse 10 through 12. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. With brotherly love. Amen. In honor, preferring one another. Talking about how to treat one another. Not slothful in business. How many of you know you ought to take care of your affairs?
Yes.
Not slothful in business. There's a whole lot to that, but that's not what I want to spend time on. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. And then he goes on, there's a lot of other good things. But for time's sake, just verse number 11. The end of it, fervent in spirit. Fervent in spirit. Now that doesn't really, you know, mean much. Let's look at it in another translation. Centenary says, be glowing in spirit. I like that. Be glowing in spirit. Weymouth, have your spirits aglow. Well, define what this means in a minute. Goodspeed, some of these other translations will help us understand. Goodspeed says, be on fire with the Spirit. Oh, now that makes a little more sense. Be on fire with the Spirit. Revised Standard Version, be aglow with the Spirit. So notice he said, be glowing in spirit, talking about our human spirit. And then he said, be aglow with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Then amplified, be glowing and burning with the Spirit.
Yes.
Then here's my favorite. Not because Brother Hagin said it's his favorite, I just like it. It's just my favorite too. Weymouth, maintain the spiritual glow.
Amen.
Who's the understood subject? Well, you know, God just hasn't stirred me up. Well, why don't you stir yourself up? He said it's our job to maintain the spiritual glow or to maintain the fire. So we could put it all together because he said glowing in spirit, that's our spirit, or on fire with the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit. So you could put this all together and say, have your spirits aglow and on fire with the Holy Spirit. See to it that you stay on fire with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what that's saying? Notice it involves both your spirit and the Holy Spirit. That's where the Holy Spirit lives, is in your spirit. But the understood subject is you and I. And this is not all, notice it's not all up to the Holy Spirit. This is not the Spirit's responsibility. You and I have something to do with it. We have something to do with whether we're on fire. Somebody said, well, I'm just all drained out. Well, God didn't do that. Amen. So it's something that we have responsibility in. It's something that the understood subject here is us. Something we have to do with. We have something to do with this. And here's how we do it. We do it by faith. Yes, amen. So this is something to not be ignorant about. Isn't that what he said concerning things that pertain to the Holy Spirit? I don't want you to be ignorant. Is that it's our job to stay on fire. To stay stirred up, so to speak, and on fire with the Holy Ghost. You've been camping or started a fire and sat around the fire talking. I mean, it's glowing good. The longer you talk, though, it burns down, burns down, burns down. Somebody gets up with a poker and pushes those ends that are not yet burnt up in there, and there it flames up again. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about. Or put more wood on the fire. Hallelujah. And the fire does burn down sometimes, in our lives spiritually, but we've got to keep it stirred up. Amen. Hallelujah. Put more fuel on the fire. Now, 2 Timothy says something in the first chapter. This is a verse you're familiar with, but it's got a similar concept mentioned here in the Word. Along this line, it uses similar language. 2 Timothy 1, 5 through 6. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, Paul's talking to Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. So he grew up in a household of faith. He grew up with knowing about faith. His mother had it, his grandmother had it. So since your mother and grandmother had it, I'm putting you in remembrance in verse 6 that you get grandma to stir you up. No. No, because you have faith. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, that means let's not pretend. It's the real deal. You got the real deal, Timothy. The unfeigned faith that's in you. When I call that to remembrance, it's not just in your grandmother and in your mother. It's in you, Timothy. When I call that to remembrance, verse 6, he says, I exhort you, I put you in remembrance that you, thou means you. You stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. Stir it up. Doesn't that sound like a similar concept? Doesn't that sound like a similar thing as to be aglow with the Spirit, maintain? Listen to the Amplified. Amplified says, verse number 6, that is why I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you. You know, one of the things that ought to distinguish us from the world is that we have something. We're on fire. We're excited about some things. I meet too many Christians all strung out. You know what I'm talking about? They're just, they haven't been stirring at all. That's right. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Without even looking at you, I can feel the darts coming at me. They mean they're not being continually refreshed. They're not drinking of what's within them. Because they're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And presence of God, they're not drawing on Him. They're not stirring Him up until what's in them flows out of their spirit and refreshes, blesses their life. Amen. Really, the only place many Christians are getting things is out of their mind and out of their flesh. Reasoning out of their mind and feelings out of their flesh. They don't feel like, it's a good day. They don't feel like they're saved, or they don't feel like they have any victory, or they don't feel blessed or feel healed or feel victorious or And so they act the way they feel. They're just getting everything out of their feelings. When if you'd learn that the greater one lives on the inside of you and learn to stir him up and get something out of your spirit, amen, then you would not have to go to church to get stirred up. Amen. I want you to notice what is said back there. Notice what is said back there in 2 Timothy. He said, stir up the gift of God. Stir it up. So we're not to be ignorant of that, right? How do you use your faith to stir? Well, Sundays are coming. I mean, you know, we get in church. I mean, the worship team, they're going to get up there and they're going to stir me up. That's not what he said. I put you in remembrance that you wait till Sunday. Thank God for the worship team. Thank God for Sunday. Amen. But that's not what he said. Well, Pastor, that's why we got worship CDs. Whenever I need stirred up, I put in a good worship CD. Well, that's not what he said either. Nothing wrong with either Sunday morning worship or a worship CD. It's just that if you depend on that, and that's the only way you ever get stirred up, you're going to damage your faith. You're going to damage your faith. Because God's plan, see, you might not always have a CD readily available, or the worship team might not be readily available, or maybe they don't hit it this Sunday. Or it just wasn't the song I wanted to sing. You know, I wanted, look what the Lord has done. And they're up there, he worship you, and they're falling asleep. That just wasn't what I needed this morning. Amen. But you know, these things help us. We thank God for the worship team. We thank God for worship CDs. Praise the Lord. Take advantage of it. You know, but don't depend on that. Amen. They can help us, but they can also hinder you. About the time you say, man, I need something, and you want to push in a CD, why don't you just take your tongue and dip down into your spirit and say, thank God I'm born again. Thank God greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Thank God I always triumph in Christ. And start drawing up the Word of God. Drawing up this. And you get in that flow. And the Spirit will start reminding you of things. I mean, Pastor, how often do you do this? Well, let me see. The last time I did it was on the way to church. Hallelujah. And I sang a song that said something about when you're all I need. When I don't remember now what I said because I said it by the Spirit. But something like, when you're all I got, that's all I need. Man, I got blessed just singing, when you're all I got, that's all I need. Woo! Started singing, getting drunk. Whoa, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And then sang another song about victory for me, victory behind me, victory in my heart, victory in my mouth. Just singing by the Spirit. I can't even repeat it now because it just came out of my belly at this moment of time. And I got to laughing. About the time I turned on Edgewood, I started laughing, just came bubbling up out. Laugh. Amen. I didn't depend on a worship CD. I didn't wait till I got to church.
Come on.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yes, sir.
But, see, I don't want my faith just being somebody else. Somebody else that gets the flow going. You know what I'm talking about? You know, concerning the flow of God and praise and worship and then services and so forth, anybody can get in the momentum of something that's already moving. But it takes faith to be the momentum. I said it takes faith to be the momentum. It takes faith. When you feel nothing, just start drawing up out of your belly and stirring up who's on the inside of you.
Amen.
I'm preaching better than your amen. Thank God for the greater one. Thank God for that we can draw up what's in us. So this is something we're not to be ignorant about. that we have to stir up what's on the inside of us and bring him into manifestation to benefit our lives. And if we'll do this, we'll become a blessing to others. Praise God. I don't want to just be refreshed myself. I want to be a blessing to others. Brother Hagin made the statement. He said, the Holy Spirit, I don't know if I'm quoting it exactly, but it's generally what he said. He said, the greater one, the Holy Spirit, lives in all believers, but he's not always living big in them. Living, not always living big in them. Meaning they're not stirring him up by practicing certain Bible principles, using their faith to practice certain Bible principles. And so he's more or less dormant rather than living big and active. A lot of people's faith would be better placed if rather than believe God for direction, rather than believe God for strength, rather than believe God for the counsel that they need, you know, and all those things, the direction, the inner witness to know what to do, and all those things, their faith would be better applied if they would just use it to stir what is already in them because of the indwelling of the presence of the Holy Spirit. If they would use their faith to stir the things they think they need, they would discover would rise up from within them and bless and give them their answer, because it's not something they need, it's something that was already living on the inside of them. They just weren't using their faith to stir. So they want to talk to somebody about their answer, and they want to get somebody else to tell them what to do, and they want to get somebody else to encourage them, and get somebody else to get their strength and encourage them, and so forth and so on. Well, thank God for the rest of the body of Christ. Aren't you glad for other people? But what do you do whenever everybody says, well, I've been telling you for 1,400 times what to do. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. Which eventually we all kind of get that place with people. Don't look at me like that. Amen. Amen. We already told you what to do. Are you doing it? Well, I just don't feel anything. Well, do you want to talk about feelings? I probably got worse ones than you. You know what I'm talking about? But I don't go by my feelings. And you'd bless us all if you wouldn't. Amen. Praise the Lord. Didn't mean to get mean on anybody. I think we're just mean on unbelief tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. So there's too many Christians that are depending on somebody else to encourage them and stir them and strengthen them and guide them and counsel them and so forth and so on. They're just not drinking from the Holy Ghost that lives on the inside of them. And when we say drinking, we're not saying you always have to laugh and fall on the floor. We get to that place sometimes. We need to get to that place. We need to stay about that far away from it all the time. But see, if you're like that at work, you need to be straightened out. Somebody needs to tell you, get to work, do your job. It's the truth. But you always just maintain the glow to where people look at you and they wonder, why has he got that Chessy Cat grin on his face? He's just sitting over there working on the computer and he just got that big smile. See, you're maintaining the glow. Praise God. Somebody say hallelujah. You go, yeah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So God's given us a means whereby we can continually be refreshed and strengthened and filled, even in times of test and trial. And they can maintain, believers, they can maintain the anointing on them so that they're thrilled with the plan of God, thrilled about life, thrilled about the future. Hallelujah. And they just keep themselves that way. They stay stirred. They stay interested. They stay excited. They're full of joy. They're not bored. They're not empty. Their life's not humdrum. Without any strength, without any power, no overcoming victory, no direction or answers or awareness of God, no bright future, no expectation of anything good. Some believers, I just want to, Lord, just turn your face the other way and let me just slap them. Do you know who's on the inside of you?
Yes. Come on.
Sometimes it'd be easier to get forgiveness. than permission, you know. Amen. Praise the Lord. So when you stir up the one who lives on the inside of you, you're stirring up everything he is. The counselor can be stirred. I just don't know what to do. Why don't you stir up the counselor? Amen. Well, I'm just so weak. Why don't you stir up the strengthener? Isn't that the way these things work? I just don't have any joy. Why don't you stir up the joy? I don't have any victory. Well, that can be stirred. I don't have any direction. Well, the inner witness, when you stir up the Holy Spirit within you, the inner witness can be stirred. I don't have the answer. Well, the answer can be stirred. Isn't that right? Glory to God. You stir him up, everything he's assigned to do, everything that is in his job description will get stirred up. And listen, when you stir him up, you become more conscious of him. He's the same all the time, but when you stir him up, you're more conscious of him. You remember Jesus in Luke 4:1, it says, he being full of the Holy Ghost was led of the Spirit. The fuller you are, the more conscious you are of leadings. Amen. Well, I just don't know what to do. I just seem like the Holy Ghost didn't say anything. Stir him up. Stir him up. He can become dormant. Maybe he has, so stir him up. Hallelujah. Things that are stirred rise to the top. Now, I know whenever I was a kid, my mama would pour a glass of milk. Then she'd get the Hershey's chocolate syrup out of the refrigerator and squeeze it and put it in that milk and it all go to the bottom. Yeah. And she'd say, now get your whatever spoon or something and stir that up.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yes,
so I'd stir, and what I stir is it starts coming up. It starts going through the whole glass of milk.
Yeah.
Glory to God. That's the good stuff.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Well, he's in there, but he might have settled down to the bottom and become dormant. Why don't you just start waking up in the morning and starting your day different? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I worship you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And start reminding yourself of Bible verses and reminding yourself of what God said to you and speaking it out your mouth. Now go to Ephesians chapter number 5. Go to Ephesians chapter number 5. That's what he says here. I know you know these verses. But see, it's not the knowers that are blessed, it's the doers that are blessed. Ephesians 5, verse number 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled, you know the Greek says continually filled, with the Spirit.
Yes.
Can you be continually filled?
Yes.
Back in the 1970s when you were filled, that's not enough? No, not doing you any good today, is it?
Yeah.
You can stir him up today. Be continually filled, speaking to yourselves. Notice, speak. Be filled, speaking. There's the leak. Well, I was filled back there in 1989, but I'm just not very full today. Well, you leaked. He leaked out. Christians leak. Did you know that? If they must, because he said be continually filled. I mean, if you ever did get filled and don't leak, then you'd never need to get filled again. But Christians leak. And right here's the leak. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. It seems like I'm always a day late and dollar short. That old hag of a wife that God gave me, I don't know. I'm looking up at the ceiling. I'm not looking. Oh, I'm having fun. So be filled, speaking. Tell your neighbor, your mouth has to be involved in this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there's a lot of people, and listen to the Amplified, by the way. Let me bring this Amplified in. Where is that? I got it here somewhere. Amplified says... I got it. The Amplified's right in front of me somewhere. Who's got the Amplified? Does it say and filled and stimulated or something like that? Ever be filled and stimulated. Ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. How? Speaking. So when he says stimulated, what is he talking about? Well, the word stimulated, I'll just find it here. Just give me a second. I've got it right here. Be ever filled and stimulated. So in the Greek, when it says stimulated, it means, I mean, in the English, because the Amplified adds that, in the English, it means to arouse to action or interest. Arouse to action or interest. Isn't that an interesting thought? So be stimulated by the Holy Spirit means arouse him into action. By speaking. Isn't that an interesting thought? To raise the level of interest or activity, it means to stimulate. To raise the level of interest or activity. Or how many of your children have ever needed you need to stimulate them to excitement to learn math or to do something like that. There are ways you can get them excited about it. Make it interesting, you know. Because their brain isn't too stimulated to learn math. Or whatever. So you gotta get them interested. I've watched you parents get your children interested in something. They weren't interested. You say, look, sissy's doing this. She's having fun. You know, you're trying to stimulate their attention to get interested. So whenever you stir up the Holy Spirit, He will stimulate your interest in spiritual things. There's a lot of Christians aren't too interested. That just tells me they're not stirring. People that stir, they're excited. Well, you know, it's just Wednesday night. I need a day off. You're not too interested, are you? You're more interested in Facebook time or whatever you're doing. Or YouTube time. Well, I'm just not trying to meddle in anybody's life, but just because it's you, don't shout and scream. Hallelujah. Ever be filled and stimulated. Praise God. Sounds a lot like stir, doesn't it? Amen. So what he's saying is if you stir up the Holy Spirit in you by speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, isn't that the context? Then he'll become active in you. He'll rise up in you and excite you about the things of God. The Word, church, the plan, meetings. Helps ministry. Hallelujah. The move of the Spirit, the harvest, the souls of the earth, the return of Jesus, getting the job done. I'm interested. I've lost interest. I tell you, you get interested in the things of God, stir up the greater one in you, you can lose total interest in natural things. A lot of people are busy about hobbies is because they're not interested in spiritual things. I didn't say that, did I, Miss Ann? Did I say that? Well, praise the Lord. Anyhow, so anybody want to learn more about how to do this? It's an act of faith. It's something that we do with our mouth by what we say. You can just start taking scriptures that, this is how I learned to preach, actually. Preach, whatever I do. I just took... You know, I was in school learning the Word, Bible school, learning the Word, just sitting under the Word, meditating in it myself. And then I started saying, I know what I'm going to do. I knew I was called to teach and preach. And so I know what I'm going to do. On the way to work, I've been feeding on this. On the way to work, I'm just going to start drawing up out of my spirit the verses along a certain line, whether it be on faith or healing or something like that, or in Christ or something. And so I started speaking out. The verse would come to me. I'd say it out. Then another one come. I'd say it out. And then I would begin to just preach to my steering wheel about what that verse said. My steering wheel got saved so many times. I'm telling you, just saved, got filled, sanctified many times, repented a lot of times. And but I did it on the way to work. I did it when I was getting ready in the morning. and just started practicing, drawing up out of my spirit. And as I did that, something else started coming up, speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And I would speak psalms and things along certain lines and got refreshed. That's called maintaining the glow. Amen. Praise the Lord. So this is, in one sense, the Spirit's always moving on the inside of us. Or let's put it this way, he's always on go, on ready. But we have got to stir him up, draw up what's inside of us. Or, if you want to say it another way, tap into that flow. Different ways the Bible says it in different settings. Remember, Jesus said, if you thirst, come unto me and drink, and out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit. So, but Pastor, there's nothing flowing. Okay, let's tear that verse out. Jesus lied. No, it's down there. It's down there. It might have got covered up with the job and the kids and the bills and what you got to do tomorrow and all the different things. Might have got all, something else might have got piled on top of it. But you can just lay all that aside, unhook from your mind, dip down into your spirit and start speaking up what you know. Start out by faith. You might not feel anything. Might feel dry to begin with. Amen. But see, and as you yield to it, then the helper will kick in. It wasn't him that initiated it. It was you that initiated it. And that's why it says all these verses, the understood subject is you. You maintain the glow. You stir up. You maintain the flow. You be filled. Hallelujah. So really, you're just jumping in the flow that's already down there. Pulling up the wells of living water. Hallelujah. Didn't say that the Spirit has to initiate this, nor does it say this is as the Spirit wills. There are things that are as the Spirit wills, but this is, and that's more for public ministry. But for your private prayer life and your own spiritual edification, you don't have to wait for the Spirit to stir you up. You can stir Him up. Glory. Thank God. It's a faith thing. Praise God. You drink by faith. He that's thirsty, come unto me and drink. You drink by faith. You stir by faith. You be filled by faith. You maintain the glow by faith. Can you see all these different terms the Bible uses? And so the thing you and I have got to realize is that sometimes Christians, they think, well, so-and-so just has a, I don't know what they think. I guess they don't really stop and think about what they think. I've learned that. That's true about a lot of Christians. They don't really, I mean, you ask them, and they say, well, you preached that, and it got me confused. It's not the way I think. How do you think? I don't know. I just never thought about it that way.
Come on.
But see, here, a lot of Christians think, well, God just sort of baptized them, somebody else they see that's more joyful and refreshed and stays fuller. God just seemed to have baptized them with a greater baptism of the Holy Spirit than he did me. I mean, I got baptized and I said Shundai and here comes my Hyundai and that's all that ever happened. I didn't have to hang on to the doorknob like Pastor Jay did, you know. Remember that story?
Yeah.
I got filled and got so drunk. I'm a Mennonite kid.
Oh, yeah.
Drunk on the Holy Ghost. I didn't learn that. Nobody taught me how to do that.
No.
It just came all over me. I had to hang on to the doorknob. Yeah, but I didn't get that. God just seemed to have baptized Pastor Jay with a greater baptism. You know? Well, he did. He didn't. But even if he had, why am I still that way today? And they're not. I mean, we have services like Brother Joe being here this weekend, and they still aren't full. They sat back there looking like, I don't know. Well, this is just silly to me. You know, they're still not full. The difference is not that God took a liking to some and gave them something extra, you know, and cheated them, the one over here grumbling, That's not the difference. It's just that they drink. Amen. They stir it up whenever they sense the Spirit moving, like in these meetings. They stir it up, and they don't. They probably live fuller because they stay stirred all the time, so that when we get in meetings like this, they can just jump right in. It's not that God filled somebody and gave them a greater blessing in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it's just that some people stay full. Some people stay full. Amen. So if I could say, can I say, they'll say, well, so-and-so just seems like they have a stronger anointing in their life than me. It's usually not that they're more anointed, but that they're more proficient. They have developed in faith to yield to this flow. They have developed in faith to stir. Let's use another word. They've developed in faith to maintain the glow. They've developed in faith to stay full. All these verses. Jesus said, come to drink. They've developed in faith to drink. Here's something that differentiates us. Now, you might think this is wild that I'm differentiating us from others in a certain area. But this differentiates us from those who learn faith in the Word in the teaching revival and those that are going on.
All right.
And operating not just in faith on the Word, which we are, but faith to yield to the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Faith to respond to this flow. Amen. I know of people who are hungry for it, but whenever the Spirit, and they even preach on it. Today, I could tell you all about meetings. Even preach on it. And four or five times during that series of teaching and preaching on it, it fell in the room, and nobody yielded to it. Don't have faith for it. You don't get faith just by hearing about it. You do get faith by hearing about it. But you develop in faith. You don't develop in faith just by hearing about it. You develop in faith by yielding to it. Yielding to it. And I don't mean it has to always be like it was in the meetings this past weekend. Just every day, every morning, get refreshed. Stir up the joy of the Lord. Just start praising Him for the victory. Amen. Sometimes it'll get stronger and you yield to that. But you understand what I'm talking about. Praise God. It's not that somebody else has a greater anointing or God just sort of took a liking to them and baptized them with something extra special when He baptized them with the Holy Ghost. It's that they are more proficient and they yield by faith. They've developed that faith by exercising themselves to yield. Faith to step out. Faith to yield. And the word the word yield, remember Jesus said to, or Mary said to the people at the wedding, whatever He says to do, do it. Whatever faith, whenever He said, Mary said, whatever He says to do, do it, do it. If you look it up, it's translated in other places in the New Testament, yield. So to yield means to do something. It doesn't mean to sit back and passively wait for the Holy Spirit to do something. He'll give you the unction, but you have to do something. Well, if I ever dance in my bedroom or I ever get up and shout around my house in the morning to stir myself up, it'll be the Lord. No, it won't be you.
Come on.
He'll stir you. You'll stir Him up and then He'll prompt you, but then you have to do it. Well, what good is that? It's not church. Well, see, you thought it was all a show. It's not. See, what we're doing at church is not a show. It's not about that. It's about yielding, getting in the flow. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So as we practice this faith to flow with the Spirit, we'll develop in faith and get in a deeper flow supernaturally. And be more refreshed. Like I was telling them on the road, our chin won't be so low that a little pebble bump on the road just jars us. But a lot of Christians they get a hangnail. Boom, boom. Just a little wee something. They lose all their joy and lose all their victory and lose all the power and all the Come on now. Somebody has a great big drain on their life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So these verses, you know, Ephesians 5, John 7, 37 is where Jesus said, come and drink. You know, Romans 12, verse number 10 through 12. All these verses, they all really have a yield sign. If you look at the verse and right beside it, there's a yield sign. Ephesians 5, 18, yield here. In other words, here's where you get in the flow. Here's where you get built up and edified in the Holy Ghost. A lot of people that are asking for prayer, when they get full, they don't need prayer anymore. They got their answer. So what am I saying? Put a priority. Put life in the Spirit. Make it a priority for your faith. Make it a priority for you. Put staying full a priority for your faith. When you do that, all the answers will flow freely. All the wisdom, all the direction, all the counsel, all the strength, everything that the Holy Spirit does, it'll all flow, and you'll be much more conscious of Him. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm preaching myself happy. Praise God. So every one of these verses has a yield sign. You heard me say it, and I wrote it in the blog. I don't know if I preached it here, but Ephesians 5:18, you know, be not drunk with wine, be filled continually. And when Paul wrote that, he later got in prison, and they put their feet in stocks and, you know, beat them. Their backs are bloody, and so they got thrown in there, and you know, feet fast in stocks. Paul and Silas looked at each other, wiped the blood and sweat and out of their eyes, and looked up, and on the wall of that jailhouse was a sign. Ephesians 5:18, yield here. Here's your exit. Here's your way out. You might feel like it's midnight. You're bound. You can't move. The devil's beat you up, put you in a jailhouse of poverty or bondage of some kind. You just wipe away the sweat and the blood and look up, and there's a yield sign by Ephesians 5:18.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, glory. Ephesians 5:18, yield here. John 7:37, yield here. By every test and trial, there's a Bible verse with a yield sign beside it. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'll tell you, the power will fall right there in the middle of that old problem. Woo! Glory! I'm telling you, you learn to do this, the devil's heyday is over. In fact, he won't even have days anymore. He won't even have hours anymore. He won't even get minutes on you, because you'll spend your time being filled continually. He's so used to bringing problems and then offering you worry and struggle and weakness and crying and being defeated, getting worked up into a tizzy. He's so used to you yielding to that when you yield to psalms, hymns, and spiritual song, you yield to praise, you yield to stirring up the greater one on the inside of you, he goes, uh-oh. What we used to make work's not going to work on them anymore. Well, Pastor, I know, but that's not my personality. I'll save you a whole lot of time. I tried that on Jesus once. And from now till eternity, I will never try it again. Because he said to me, if I'd have thought it in my mind, I wouldn't have been so mean on myself. So I know it wasn't my mind. He said, yeah, and your personality was basically formed by unbelief. That's what I didn't think just wow. I thought, oh, ow. Wasn't wow, it was ow. He hit the nail on the head. The way I grew up. Anybody else grow up like me or worse than me? Hallelujah. 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 Well, I'm so glad I came to church, Pastor. Well, why don't you practice this at home? Be being continually filled. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Don't walk around. You can stand with me to your feet. We're going to let you out early tonight. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you orphaned. You know, King James says helpless, but I believe it's the Amplified says orphaned. You know, an orphan is helpless. They don't have anybody to help them. So he said, I'm not going to leave you orphaned. Christians should not look in their face like they're all orphaned. Nobody to care for me. I'm all alone. Nobody loves me. You're not alone. There's somebody that loves you. Amen. No, there's people to help you. There's someone on the inside to help you. I just think we ought to remember before we go what David said. Whenever he was out on a battle, you remember, and they came back, and his hometown Ziklag had been burnt. They stole all the property, you know, out of their houses and their wives and families and children. And all of them were distressed. All the army, the military people, the soldiers that went with David to that battle, they were all distressed. They were all, you know, heavy and crying. And then they started talking about stoning David, killing David. Well, what do you do when everything turns against you? Everything goes down the tubes? Went in the toilet and the devil flushed it. You know what I'm talking about? Just like, there goes my money. There goes my... What do you do? You do what David did. Bible said he encouraged himself. Encouraged himself in the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, there's nobody to encourage me. Well, you big thumb-sucking baby, you. Nobody in this church. I mean, if they're out there on the internet, you know what I'm talking about. Encourage yourself. You know, the big part of encouragement is just remembering what the Word of God says. Just remembering what the Word of God says. Don't wait till you come to church and Ann catches you and sees that down look on your face and comes over with the Word of God and reminds you what the... Don't wait. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself. What does the Bible say to me? What does the Word of God say to me? But I don't feel. Well, here, feel this. Feel this. Amen. See, the Bible talks about getting proficient with spiritual things. Getting skilled with spiritual things. So get good at this. I have looked myself in the mirror. I made sure Pastor Debbie wasn't around because I thought it looked silly. But I've looked myself in the mirror and looked, you look so sad. I've done that in the mirror.
Yes, sir.
Check out, see if I got any dirt in my teeth. I have done that a number of times. Amen. We would all be blessed if you'd look in the mirror before you came to church and gone, you're victorious. Greater is he that's in you. You'd bless us all. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's all I had tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, Pastor, I believe God and it didn't work out. Well, see, don't unhook from your faith. Just keep praising Him. But it's too late, the doctor said. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to be like John Wayne. You just keep on coming. You know what I'm talking about? Just keep on coming. Just keep on coming. But it's too late. Who said too late? Who said too late? Glory! Glory! Do you know it's not over till we say it's over? Doctor said too late. Lawyer said too late. Banker said too late. That hag of a wife said it's too late. Amen. It ain't over till we say it's over. We're not the fat lady, but we're not saying it's over yet. We're not done singing. Amen. You got something you want to sing? Praise the Lord. Glory, 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 glory.
Glory, hallelujah. Can I have the key of C, please? Hallelujah.
Glory to God. This is good for what ails you.
Keep yourself full. Full of Jesus and what He's done. Keep yourself full of the power He has made available. Just keep yourself full of what Jesus did for you. Stir it up. Stir it up. Stir it up. Stir it up. You'll have your answer. Just stir it up. Stir it up. You are more than able. Just stir it up, stir it up. The power's made available. Just yield yourself to the joy of the Lord. Stir it up, stir it up. And you will have your answer. Stir it up, stir it up. For you are more than able. Stir it up, stir it up. There's power made available. Just yield yourself to the joy of the Lord. Stir it up, stir it up, and you will have your answer. Stir it up, stir it up. You are more than able. Stir it up, stir it up, and there's power made available. Just yield yourself to the joy of the Lord. Stir it up, stir it up. For you are more than able. Stir it up, stir it up. And there's power made available. Just yield yourself to the joy of the Lord. And be refreshed. Live in peace. Live in the joy and constant strength for you. Just yield yourself to the joy of the Lord. Speak the word over everything in your life. Stir it up, stir it up. For you are more than able. Stir it up, stir it up. And you are more than able. Stir it up, stir it up. There's power made available. Just yield yourself to the joy of the Lord. One more time. Stir it up, stir it up. And you will have. Stir it up, stir it up. You are more than able. Stir it up, stir it up. There's power made available. Just yield yourself to the joy of the Lord. Speak the word, speak the word, and you will have your answer. Speak the word, for you are more than able.